More than 3,000 people have now died from the Ebola virus, and reported incidents of the deadly disease are on the rise across West Africa. Joining me now in studio, Jason O'Brien, news editor of independent.ie, who has recently returned from Sierra Leone, one of the country's worst hit by Ebola. Jason, you're very welcome. You've had to take certain precautions in the aftermath of the trip.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. I mean, as far as we know, the incubation period the World Health Organization gives us is 21 days from when you come out of a high-risk zone. So that works out at, for me, next Sunday, and it's fair to say I've been counting down the days from then. As soon as I arrived home, we went back to the Tropical Medical Bureau and did my bloods and so on, and we've been keeping monitoring them for the last couple of weeks to make sure, especially that my temperature doesn't go up. A fever of above 38 degrees is kind of one of the first warning signs. And when we were over there, we moved around a fair bit.
Yourself and your photographer colleague?
Myself and Mark Condren, who's a photographer in independent.ie, and we moved around a fair bit, but every time you went maybe about 30 or 40 miles, you would be stopped at an intermittent border with guards, with people with machine guns, and your temperature would be taken. And if your temperature was over 38.5 degrees, I'm not quite sure exactly what would happen to you at that time, but you wouldn't be allowed to go any further.
Now, interestingly, it was really on your way home that it was brought home to you, and on the flight home, in a fairly dramatic fashion, just how seriously this virus ought to be taken.
Yeah, we'd worked there for maybe 3 days on the ground, and we're doing very long days, and we got on the flight out of there, and I was happy to be coming out of it. We're flying from Freetown to Casablanca. And I kind of fell asleep straight away on the flight, but I was woken up by a colleague of mine, Dave Williams, who works with Goal, and he just tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Have you seen this?" And walking down the centre of the aisle was a guy in a full space suit, as we call them, the protective gear, on this plane. And he's walking down the aisle of the plane, and apparently there was somebody who displayed some sort of a fever, possibility of Ebola. As it turned out, it wasn't, but they were being brought down to the bathroom at the back of the plane, and they were being placed in isolation. So that was only an hour into the flight, and the flight stayed going for the next 3 hours, and the rest of the air crew, they got the masks, the face masks, but none of the passengers were given masks, or we weren't given an explanation for such. We just asked one of the stewards, and he said, "Well, look, it looks like we have a possibility of Ebola," which obviously, rather than possibly saying, "Listen, we're taking every precaution because there has been a fever noted on board," or something like that, to keep everybody calm, he kind of went...
It can't have made for a particularly pleasant flight.
No, it was a long flight at 4
now,
hours.
Going back to Sierra Leone, where you spent some time, you went to a government hospital there.
Yeah, we went down to the government hospital down in Kenema. Kenema is a city about 5 hours from the capital, Freetown, and it was designated as the main Ebola treatment centre because it had dealt with an outbreak of Lassa fever a couple of years earlier and done quite well with that. But it quickly became overwhelmed with Ebola. I think on the last count, about 2 weeks ago, there was 30 medical staff who were actually killed after contracting Ebola while trying to deal with the patients there. They're absolutely overwhelmed. The rest of the hospital has been abandoned because nobody wants to be anywhere near there. And the medical staff, they certainly can't cope at the moment. There's reports of some of the patients in there going hungry, not being treated for correctly, because simply people have died and nobody wants to replace them.
So it's only a hospital for people who have the virus acquired already?
It is now, because it used to be a full hospital, but all the other wards, they've all been abandoned. And it's just these two tented wards that are the Ebola treatment centre, and they're somewhat isolated, but everything else is gone.
Did you go in there?
We didn't go in, no. We went into a Red Cross treatment centre, Ebola treatment centre, just outside Kenema, that had just been opened and had just received its first two Ebola victims. It's the first ever Ebola treatment centre for the Red Cross. The one in Kenema, to be honest, going by the gear that they have, going by the stories that have come out of there, you might know the British nurse William Poley, who he contracted Ebola in that same hospital. It just doesn't seem like a place that I was willing to go into at that stage. We went into the one in the Red Cross, and we think we were okay. Everything was done by the board, whereas the resources available to the doctors and nurses working in Kenema just weren't up to scratch, as far as I could see.
We've seen in the last 10 days or thereabouts big promises particularly or most notably by the United States, to throw a lot of resources at this on the basis that it could cause massive destabilization if it's not dealt with. What's your sense of what's required and how well or otherwise what's promised matches up?
Well, I think there's some estimates coming out from the States and their Center for Disease Control over there that in a worst case scenario, there could be 1.4 million cases of this by January. We're at about 7,000 cases at the moment. So that would obviously indicate a huge upsurge.
An exponential
absolutely.
Growth of this.
Absolutely. And we have seen that to some state in the last couple of weeks where, for example, in Sierra Leone, I think, there's been 700 cases in the last 2 weeks, whereas before that there had been 1,100 cases in the previous 3 months. So you can see that it is ramping up. On the ground, it is going to be a huge job of work for people to take control of this. Medical staff are badly needed. Flights in and out of the place are badly needed because a lot of the commercial airlines have stopped flying there. So getting supplies in, getting frontline medical staff workers in there, it's all going to be huge. And the States are saying they're going to send in 3,000 troops, I believe, mainly to Liberia. We'll wait to see what happens there. I know the British are also building a treatment centre in Freetown in Sierra Leone. So it's certainly a start. But in terms of bed numbers, they need another 500 beds immediately, which they don't have. They're already overwhelmed. So for those 500 beds that are needed, they're not going to obviously be provided for a while.
It's a virus that's very easily transmitted. What's your sense of how well or otherwise local communities there get the message about the need for care and the need to watch out for symptoms?
I think that that is coming true from where we were on the ground, certainly in Kenema, which obviously has had a huge number of cases. People are aware that touching people, that shaking hands, that especially when somebody dies from Ebola, it becomes very, very contagious. And traditionally in Sierra Leone, it would be the case that people would wash the dead. And obviously that would be a huge no-no. It took a while for that message to come true, but I think it is coming true now. But again, there's still a lot of work to be done there.
Yes, you met a man with perhaps, I think he was described as somebody with the least desirable job on earth.
Yeah, it's the body management team. That's how they're termed. Basically, these are the guys. If somebody dies in Sierra Leone now, people have to go out and collect the body and then they have to test for whether it is an Ebola victim or not. That is obviously a hugely difficult and stressful job because the bodies are so contagious. So these guys get suited up. They've got two people going in front of them spraying chlorine. They spray all the body in chlorine and then they pick up the body, put it in a body bag, bring it back to the hospital and test it. And if it is Ebola, it's dealt with in a certain way in terms of how it's buried. And if it's not Ebola, then these guys go back out into the community and bury the body in the community. But in terms of a lot of times they're not welcome in the community, a lot of the times the bodies have been left for 3 or 4 days. The bodies might be decomposing as well as having a possibility of Ebola. So it's a very difficult job. It's a very stressful job. And it's a job that a lot of them are getting paid about $100 a month for.
The other affected countries are worst affected countries, of course, in addition to Sierra Leone, being Liberia and Guinea. What about beyond those three countries?
There has been an outbreak in Nigeria and in Senegal. They're the two other countries so far with this particular outbreak. They both reckon that it's controlled. We wait and see. I mean, again, there's a 21-day period. I think both of them are at that place now, but whether We'll have to wait and see, you know.
Did you have any misgivings about going there yourself, Jason?
I didn't at the time. I probably didn't think about it as much as I maybe should have. We went. It was very short notice. We said we'd do it. Obviously, it's a huge story to do. It's a story that Irish journalists haven't done particularly. I thought it was something good to do and we did do it. Since I've come back, I've kind of thought maybe I should have thought about it a little bit more. But, you know, touch wood, things are going well so far.
But exactly, it's a case of so far so good. Yes. All the monitoring says there's no problem. But you've got to wait until next weekend.
That's right.
Be absolutely sure.
Be 100%, yeah.
Jason, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio. That's Jason O'Brien there, news editor of independent.ie. We'll be back with a breaking story about drugs, which we touched upon last week. That's after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.